Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is a list. Now, preaching from a biblical list can be sermonic suicide, a certain sleeper. General wisdom tells us that it's best to avoid lists, shun lists, never dare preach on biblical lists. And yet, skewing all of that homiletical wisdom, the text this morning is a list from the book of Joshua. Now, if you are into genealogies, census reports, tabulations, lists, then in the second half of the book of Joshua, you have come to the proverbial pot at the end of the rainbow. After the conquest of Canaan, and beginning in chapter 12, there is a list of defeated Amorite and Canaanite kings. And then continuing from chapters 13 through 19 in staccato-like fashion are lists of borders and lakes and rivers and towns and cities from Reuben, Manasseh, Ephraim, Caleb gets in there, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Simeon, Judah, and last but not least, Joshua himself. To these lists, we add our text, Joshua 20, 7 through 9. So they set apart Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. On the east side of the Jordan of Jericho, they designated Bezer in the desert on the plateau in the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead in the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan in the tribe of Manasseh. Any of the Israelites or any alien living among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the avenger of blood prior to standing trial before the assembly. It's true, some of you say. Sermonic suicide. A certain sleeper. Perhaps not so fast. Our text speaks of cities of refuge that begin in the north in Canaan and go to the south. And then they cross over the Transjordan and go from south to north. The idea being that wherever you are in Israel, there is a city of refuge that is close, nearby, indeed an ever-present help in trouble. Now for us, the uninitiated, a list that begins with Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezer, Ramoth, Golan, is just a yawn. Just a list. But, and this is the big but, if you were on the run in ancient Israel, this list in Joshua 20, it meant for you everything. Let me explain. In ancient Israel, if someone in your family was killed, you would have a family reunion and you would appoint at that reunion a blood avenger, Goel Hadam in our text. And that blood avenger had one job description: find the killer of our relative and release from his neck the burden of having to carry a head. Now, admittedly, this was a bit crude, but it kept law and order. Of course, the major problem was that of an accidental death. Using Deuteronomy 19:5 as an example, two guys go into the forest to cut down trees. One guy swings his axe, the axe head flies off, hits the other guy, and kills him. Now what happens? Family reunion time. We gather the relatives and appoint a Goel Hadam, a blood avenger, and we don't choose Rotan, Uncle Earl. We choose fleet-footed cousin Nick, and Nick's orders are clear. Find the guy with the Luke's axe head and kill him. Well, we all react with these words. It's not fair. The guy just didn't have a good axe to work with. He doesn't deserve death, but you see, no one else knew what to do. No one, that is, except Yahweh, the God of Israel. You see, it's in his heart to provide cities of refuge all over the land that are close, nearby, indeed, and ever present in times of trouble. Now, this Sunday, the church celebrates the 482nd Reformation anniversary of the church with its battle hymn, Ein feste Burg ins unser Gott. And in that battle hymn, Luther defines the blood avenger of the believer, the one who is chasing us, the old evil foe. Now means deadly woe. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. With dread craft and might, he arms himself to fight on earth. There is no equal. That is Satan. Revelation 11, Abaddon, Apollyon, destroyer. John 10, he comes to kill and steal and destroy. The avenger of blood for the believer. Some of you saw him in your rear view mirror as you gathered in this sanctuary this day. Some of you feel his hot breath behind you on your neck even just now. And all of us know what it's like to run and run and run for our very lives. You see, the Spirit's is willing, but the running is weak. As tempter, he runs after all of us, screaming out with a megaphone, whatever it is you feel like doing, just do it. Have some anger floating around, take the lid off. Have some sexual fantasies floating around, let them fly. Have some juicy gossip floating around, let him have it. He switches from tempter then to deceiver. He says, whatever it is you know you're going to do or think or say, there will be no consequences, no responsibilities, there are no expectations, there are no commandments. Put your foot to the pedal and hit the metal, ready, set, go. And you and I, after a long run, finally give up. And he changes from tempter, from deceiver, to his true nature, Ha-Satan, the accuser. And he gets right in our faces. And then he hurls us onto the mat and pins us there and places his foot upon our necks and says, now that you've done this, thought this, saw this, said this, smoked this, shot this, God is finished with you. Now, this strategy reminds me a lot of a girl in my high school. Rush him, mush him, flush him, crush him. Now, our text speaks to those who have sinned accidentally, loose axe head people, unintentionally, with no malice aforethought. And brothers and sisters, that leaves us out countless times. We have sinned intentionally, with malice aforethought, with premeditation, making us easy prey for the liar who is on the loose. And his orders are clear. I will chase you until I kill you. And the corpses of failed seminarians, professors, pastors, and people are all around for us to see. No one knows what to do except Yahweh, the God of Israel. and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's in his heart to provide cities of refuge that are close nearby, indeed, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And these cities of refuge find their fulfillment in him who is not only similar to and greater than Melchizedek, Moses, Joshua, Jonah, Tabernacle, Temple, but him who is similar to and yet greater than any city of refuge. Jesus Christ is Yahweh's final expression for an asylum, a sanctuary, a safe place, a mighty fortress, a refuge, an ever-present help in trouble. Because of the substitutionary death and mighty resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of us who run hear the word of the Lord. The accuser who accuses our brothers day and night before our God has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So run not aimlessly, run not desperately, but run to this refuge, this meal. It was Luther who pounded the table at Marburg saying, "Hoc est corpus meum," right? This is my body. Not real absence, real presence. In what the refuge of all mankind has accomplished at Calvary. The forgiveness, the salvation, the mercy and compassion in what happened there is now freely delivered in bread and wine, true body and true blood, ever presence at every meal at this table prepared for us in the presence of our enemy. Now for the uninitiated, for the callous, for the unrepentant, for the hard-hearted, this meal with a list of Sursum Corde, Sanctus, Pater Noster, Verba, Agnus Dei, Nunc Dimittis, it sounds a whole lot like what? Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezer, Ramoth, Golan, just a yawn, just a list. But to those of us who are the baptized, the instructed, the repentant, to those of us who know what it's like to be tempted and deceived and accused, to those of us who know what it's like to be slam dunked by the old evil foe, to those of us who know the run, this refuge, these gifts, this meal with a list means, why, it means everything. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.